Hi, I'm Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. Today, Pam and I are talking about what we learned from our guests, who explored the topic of happiness. If you missed any of the shows, you can listen to them at khsu.org, iTunes, chronologicallygifted.org, and Podbeam. Pam, what stood out for you?
First off, I just kept thinking, in my country, people seem a little obsessed about being happy. And I include myself in that, you know, growing up here. But when I think about other cultures, they sometimes, maybe a lot, are more occupied with justice or equity, collective well-being, peace, things that have more altruistic nature to it. And so I've always thought in my later years, probably from the time I was 30 on, that happiness has to do with childhood. Gosh, what a happy time. For many of us, not everybody, but the innocence is there, the fantasy, the playtime. Everything's open. We're learning new things and being exposed. And I think of adulthood and older age as being occupied with producing and working and child rearing and mentoring. And I think of us as older adults, more focused on well-being and altruism and giving back. And yet the conversations we had with our guests really showed a lot of insight to what the breadth of the meaning of happiness can be. And it's beyond, I think, how this society defines or sees happiness, so that we're talking about other things like contentment, meaning, purpose, empathy. And that helped. So yeah, this was, I think, amazing, and I'm so glad we did it. How about you, Annie?
Our guests were really clear that happiness is a state in which we feel contentment with our lives, satisfaction with what we have, and gratitude for all we have while we have it. Charlie said you don't pursue happiness, but rather fulfillment and aliveness. It's paying attention to that which is important and focusing on filling our lives with what matters to us. Charlie's comment always sticks with me, that when he was working with people at the end of their lives, they spoke of only two things: the people they loved and who loved them, and the memories of that, and work they had done that was meaningful and that made a difference. If we use that endpoint and work backward, it serves as a guiding philosophy for the entirety of our lives. Love others and be grateful for their love, and do work that serves to make a difference in the world.
So I'm a little critical of this idea of let's be happy, but I'm really happy, Annie, that we pursued this topic along with resilience. I enjoyed learning how our brains are hardwired to be cautious for danger or negativity, and that that's, you know, thousands of years in us, and that responding that way in acute situations is still relevant, but not responding that way chronically. Can't remember which of our guests brought that up, but I thought that was really important. There's certainly situations where one might be fearful for a reason, but that we're scanning our environment in a chronic way, looking for something that might go wrong, is part of a pathway that we've inherited, and that this can be changed. Example he gave sure fits for me in one sense. If I would get student evaluations, let's say a class of 30, and 28 would be positive and 2 wouldn't be, I would perseverate on those 2, like, what did I do wrong? What can I do next time? Why did they feel that way? I have to look at this, and I'd reflect on it. My late husband, who was a history professor, did the same thing, so then I knew it wasn't specific to being in a helping profession. It really was something that maybe we all do, and our guests validated that's a tendency that's there, but also one that we can change with time, with being present, with noticing the positive. And it's not like we choose to be more attentive and bothered by less pleasant things. I found that to be really important too. It's not a choice. It can be an automatic reaction. So being in the moment, noticing how we feel physically, emotionally, what we're thinking, can help us make other choices that are positive, that help us sort of not just bounce back in terms of being resilient, but help us create another pattern and way of responding that might be more relevant and more meaningful in situations we previously responded quickly or automatically to. So I found that to be hopeful. Sometimes I've wondered if I have a resilience gene. They didn't talk about that, so I guess they don't exist. But it's been easy for me throughout my life to take things that people say positively inside. I feel the gratitude and haven't diminished a compliment in any way. On the other hand, I do tend to think about and reflect on an interaction that might be unpleasant, where I wondered if I should have behaved differently or said something differently. Given that this is pervasive among humans across cultures, I'm not surprised by that that happens sometimes, but I'm pleasantly surprised that I tend to have, and I don't think it's superficial, an optimistic or positive view in general.
I do view you as being very positive and resilient. And that was a topic that captivated me, the role of resilience in neuroscience in happiness. I've never spent any time contemplating their connection. I never even thought of them as being connected, actually. Andrew Chatte talked about the notion that we have ways of scanning the world for information that can interfere with our ability to accurately see the world and to be able to respond to it appropriately. As a result, we tend to focus on the negative rather than the positive. We've all known people who seem to see the dark side of situations on a continual basis. I've always tried to avoid that kind of negativity. So I was interested in what Rick Hansen talked about in terms of human beings being hardwired to be Velcro for the negative and Teflon for the positive. So I think perhaps our job is to recognize that that pattern exists in us, to scan each situation for accuracy, and then tilt toward the positive so that we can find, as Andrew said, meaning, mission, and purpose throughout our lives, that being a solid pathway to happiness. This was really one of my favorite topics that we've done because I think I found it so uplifting.
Yeah, me too, Annie. That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the links to our podcasts, Facebook group, and email address, go to chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks so much for listening.
We'll be here next week, and we hope you will be too.